We have people that don't even know what NYI is. So just some of the basics, like what is it? What does it even stand for? Nazarene Youth International. I think everybody here has been through the blocks with it. So we're pretty familiar with what that is. The mission of NYI, to call our generation to a dynamic life in Christ. And as I was putting this together, I was picking it apart. I need something to strive for. I like what is our goal? What is our mission? And then how do we all fit into that and be a part of that? And just even the word choice that goes into mission statements, to call our generation to a dynamic life in Christ. Like, just the word choice there is just really, really particular. And I think that talks into everything that we're trying to do. A few other things just want to point out. NYI is not just about our 12 to 17 year old youth. And I'm glad you're here, Jody. And yesterday at our workshop, we heard quite a bit from a couple of people in Quebec as well, just their hearts of pouring out for people who are youth who are leaving the church once they're done youth group. What happens when we're done? So NYI is technically this 12-year-old, but it really encompasses through junior high, through high school, college and career, and young adults. It really is quite a wide spectrum, but we get really hyper-focused on the youth, and that's important, but we do need to think of the whole thing. What happens when our youth leave our youth group and go on to university? The biggest development age is that 17 to 24 age, where they're picking, they have to make their own choice on what toothpaste to buy, whether they're gonna be Coke or Pepsi, whether they're gonna, you know, they're making those life decisions and deciding, more importantly, am I in this Christian thing or not? Because they're not in the shelter of their home for the most part, or even if they're living at home, they feel they've got the freedom to not. So, very critical area there. Yesterday, Kenny asked the question, when you think of your youth ministry, what are the words that come to mind or something, or when you think of youth ministry? And this is what we came up with yesterday. These are the words that are the people in the workshop said. And a couple of things about that was just, you know, they're all positive, which was, you know, there's the challenges, the struggles, but, you know, the vibrant, discipleship, relationships, and power. They're the present, they're the future, and intense, potential, and caring. So I thought that was just really neat to see some of the words that came to mind when we thought of youth ministry. And, you know, everything we do in the Church of the Nazarene, our denomination, has been grounded in youth ministry with this scripture in 1 Timothy. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. And even I was reading that again, it's, like I said, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a scripture, like, you know, I'm not memorizing, I'm not preaching the word, but all I could remember is like, oh yeah, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. That was the part, right, the beginning? But then you get to the second half, right? Set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. And that's the core of NYI. So are we as leaders, as we are people who are invested in that, and are we calling our youth to do that? Not focus on the, don't let anybody look down on you because you're just a youth. Mm-hmm. Right? It's why.
Force them to look up on you.
Right.
I preached this.
That, yeah, see, like that's just
half of it's their problem, half of it's you need to make them look and recognize that you're doing things that should make them challenge them.
Yeah. So anyways, these are just some things the big picture, just thinking of a concept or just to put it in perspective of who we are and what we do, and some of this is organizational structure things to sort of understand where we fit in. So the local church is the core and the heart. Some people reverse that, where we start with the global and then go out to the local, but I tend to look at the local and just build upon that. At our local church level, you're part of a district. And as a district, you are part of a field, which is Canada in our case. In the USA, for example, I think there's another six different fields, like Northwestern, Northeastern, Southern, like that type of thing. And then a field is part, Canada is part of USA Canada region. So when we take part in events like MYC, that's part of USA Canada region. Mesoamerica region will have their own MYC, or Africa has their own Eurasia, that type of thing. And then, of course, just part of the global church. So we really have a unique perspective within the Church of the Nazarene, where we really are part of this ongoing bigger resource and diversity that we can tap into. A couple of interesting data points of where we're at and going. And the new data, I guess, is just being finalized here. I checked to see if there's anything later. Canadian, specifically, NYI, membership equals participation as of 2010. It used to be membership was, you had to be part of a local member of the church. They've changed that, recognizing that a lot of people, the youth groups are, they're not members of the church necessarily, but they are attending and utilizing your youth work or your resources. So looking at membership as a larger component as of 2010. So hence the drop a little bit and tightening up and looking at some different things. But in general in Canada, we're on a 25% decline in the last 5-6 years on attendance and participation, membership, and MYI. We're at a 25% decline in USA Canada overall. And I know this isn't safe, but we are in a 2% decline globally. So a couple of things that sort of shows to me on that is that, thank goodness we're part of a global church where there's just some exciting things happening mm-hmm. and growth going on. It's more than here. At the same time, we are in a bit of a crisis mode of what's happening in the church in Canada and where things are going and where youth and participating in youth groups and what that looks like. And we hear those stories. We hear it at district events. We hear it at local church events. We hear it in a variety of ways. You guys have all shared that. So any thoughts on that? Any?
I was going to ask, those numbers, that would mostly be our youth groups.
That is. Correct.
Because our whole 20s would not, year olds would not be in those numbers. Because while they might be in church, we're not counting them as attending church because there's no group for them, so they basically don't exist.
Correct.
It's awesome. Good job. Oops. I wish you would.
Well, yes and no, right? They would count in reporting, for instance.
Yeah, when you check off,
yeah.
You're putting your numbers.
Yeah, you can. It's pretty specific. It's like those drop-down menus, 20 to 30, 15 or 12 to 17.
Okay.
I think.
So it does include.
Well, when you were in reporting stats for
yep.
Global Church, you include that.
Perfect. Okay.
So you could get a breakdown of how much of that number
yes.
comes from which, well, that would be interesting to see.
And can also get it by district. So I didn't have access to the district in up-to-date numbers, so I didn't want to go into too much depth data-wise, but absolutely. And I believe it's available on nazarene.org, though I had a hard time finding it, I will say, today, because they're changing their website, so it's some of the links click here. If you click it, it's not going to take you there, so, yeah. Three main things that MY talks about, and tied into the mission and vision, you've probably heard this quite a bit, is the be, do, go. And this has really taken off and being globally as being a huge thing, and really being a lot more than their leadership development and evangelism and discipleship that they've used, which are the core values. So they really refer to a lot now as the be, do, go, and they're going to continue using that. It's really gained some traction and internationally, and so as well as in USA Canada. So just really going with that. So I've broken a few things that have been on my heart in what I've heard from people, and some things that may be of interest or not tie into some of these. And then I'd love to hear your stories on each of these too. One of the main things I'm in marketing, so I tend to hit my marketing stuff too, of going like, how we're targeting people. So I can talk about that. How are we targeting this youth group? How are we targeting this age group? How do we communicate with them? How do we reach out? How do we evangelize? And how do we communicate with our youth in there? One of the big things, of course, is just who, know your audience. Who are you talking to? Who are you engaging with? And who are you trying to evangelize with and to? And some things about the latest generation coming up, they're called Gen Z, probably, for the U.S.
Thanks for interpreting that.
In case you didn't know what that meant.
Thank you.
81% on social media. Some of this will not be a surprise, but this is like, so they are known as individuals. They do not want to be part of a group. They do not want to be lumped into a group of sorts. So say they're with a youth group can definitely be a detriment to how they view themselves as individuals in society contributing. There is no social norm. So what we may think is a social norm and has historically been a social norm, like of course you would go to church on a Sunday, or of course you would go to church on Good Friday or Christmas Eve, or of course you would go to a district youth event because we've always done that. None of that. Never mind when you get to what they're dealing with in high schools and in their homes. There is no social norms. For them, it's all the norm. They just want to break it all and do it all. They speak their minds, but through social media, not their mouths. So, number one user social media tool for them is Snapchat. So, it's not Facebook.
I love Snapchat.
And it's not Twitter. It'll be Instagram, number two. And you'll get the parents on Facebook. Very dangerous tools, but awesome tools too. So that's where they are. Instant gratification. They are in it, and they want to know what they're going to get out of it now. So this, hey, I'm going to go to heaven. This lifelong of, how do we evangelize to that? How do we, in crude terms, sell them Christianity? How do we sell them that? But there are some great things in that as well. But flexibility, they're very like, well, we'll see. May come, may not come. May commit, may not. Want to be treated as adults. And they have little fact or logical reasoning put in with them. And of course, the big thing is what is now referred to as snowplow parents, not helicopter parents, who hover in and rescue their child when they need a snowplow. The parent will take control and just plow right through anything and make it happen for their child and want to be with them and clear the way for them. So the parents are along and are even more present than they were in the millennial. So just to be aware of some of those things. Communicating with them, interactive, and get to the point. Like, they would not like this at all. This is like boring. Let's sit, here's my PowerPoint, here's my points and bullets. We even noticed that when we're planning for NYC this year, how we can have different ways of communicating the message in every service, whether it's the skit guys drama, to a spoken word, to a worship primarily service with a little speaking, the interactive experience, walking through the Lord's Prayer. So there's very... It has to be interactive.
The lights on the wrists.
Like, right?
That was
they
a
felt
new
they were
thing.
Part of it.
That was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Just curious, can I ask?
Yeah, please.
Did you get a lot of feedback on how everyone, like, because I only really heard from Canada and Atlantic, right? I mean, as far as, it was very noticeable that the speakers were very different. You know, like you had to, you didn't have two speakers that were similar. They were very different. I don't know what others, but it was interesting that Canada Atlantic kids, they liked the preacher style the best.
Yep.
They really enjoyed the first guy, Bigsby.
Briggsby.
Yeah.
Yep.
They were like, he could have just preached longer. I was shocked. This is not what I expected.
Yep.
Like, they really were like, he just kind of like preached, and it was kind of what we expected, but he was funny and, you know, whatever. And they, all the different stuff, except everyone liked the skate guys.
Yeah.
But like the spoken word, that was weird. That's what I'm like, really?
We've only heard anecdotally so far. Because the surveys go out and then we'll get the actual intentional data. Yep, they do survey for find out for speakers and events and different things that what the feedback is. Anecdotally, the emails received when the volume has and the feedback has been immense as far as positive for this NYC for a couple of reasons. Two, the intentionality of the theme.
Yeah.
The delivery method of the theme through many different ways, including the different kinds of speakers. But again, anecdotally, and then the experience
was
component.
Everybody's highlight was the experience in ours. It was phenomenal.
Yeah.
But I was just surprised.
Yeah.
I really would have thought the general that I would have heard from our kids would have been, I loved all the different ones, and it was... I thought it was weird that they really liked the preacher, kind of.
Well, from our group too, they really liked Rick Rigsby. They really liked the last guy too. And then about half of mine really found the spoken word interesting. The other half were like, no.
Yeah.
I love that it was variety myself. Because every kid gets something different.
My takeaway from it would be that the youth could identify with something and with someone and something.
Absolutely.
And the fact that there was different would be, just as if you're doing your youth group and doing your church, you have to change it up. Then people notice it, whether they like it or not.
Yeah.
But you want a reaction rather than, right?
If it was the same every night, it would have got, they would have failed.
Yeah. So similar principle, even to your own local setting.
Yes. Awesome.
And everybody is different. Kay Todd was yesterday too, and heard from different people, different learning styles, different ways of hearing and experiencing, seeing in our youth groups. So how are we communicating with them in those different ways? Let's engage. I'm just going to move on to the engaging part there. Go to them. So don't wait for them to come to you. You have to seek them out, this group. And don't belittle them. Use many ways and authenticity. They will see through any marketing, language, any type thing. They are definitely not in there. These next two areas, I was hoping, well, Calvin said he probably could come today, but I was hoping I want to share an example from there, and I want to hear from some of you guys what you're doing for discipleship in either your local setting or in your district setting as much as anything. County Pacific has launched a program in the last year called LAMP. It's a leadership and mentorship program. And they intentionally work with Sunday school ministries, partnership with SDMI and MYI in the district office, and have created this program where, one, it's leveraging all the financial resources, two, it's leveraging people in different areas of ministry. But the heart is the same, is to how do we mentor and disciple our young people throughout the different generations. And part of it comes on this passing on the faith. How are we doing this? And which is my husband's soapbox on that. But how are we doing that? How are we getting volunteers in our youth ministry? Talked about that yesterday. And identifying those people and identifying the youth, college and career MYI people, who can be mentors and who can be mentored, And they've just done a really cool job of that. They had about 80, 90 people at a one-day workshop they did out in Nanaimo, BC, and with local church, pastors, parents, leaders, and MYI, and splitting them up. They're working together, they're round tables, they're partnered with someone, and they're watching out for each other. And we talked a lot about that mentorship is not just a top-down.
Yeah.
And even what you were saying, Nathan, right, it's how are people looking up to you in youth? So it really is, you learn from the youth and college and career as seniors and adults, family, as much as looking to learn from the older generation. And that's where it really becomes a really beautiful partnership, is when you have that humility and understanding that it's a two-way communication. It's not a one-way download. Oh, I'm going to make you a better, you're going to grow into a great adult. Right? It's that partnering together. Well, what can I learn from you? Someone who's in junior high. But what kind of things do you have going on your districts and your churches that would be a discipleship type program, something like that that you intentionally do that you've seen success in or have challenge with?
I certainly see it as a bit a challenge on our district. Something that we haven't been very successful with.
Yep.
We've tried different things here and there. Trying to resource leaders so that they can be more intentional in their mentoring in their local settings and things like that. It's been, it's been fairly hit and miss, I guess. There's a lot of turnover, which is the reality everywhere, I think, in terms of youth leaders. Mitch and Nathan and Shamal are probably the only staff youth leaders on our district. Everybody else seems like in a state of flux, and so we have it's hard to connect with leaders, and therefore sometimes it's hard to identify youth that are leadership potential, because we don't have continuity of leadership that can kind of point them to us. Does that make sense? On the bright side, I think at family camp, I wasn't able to attend, but I got the report. Do you know Penny Ure from Red Deer? She's NMI, but.
I like how you said
good.
That. She said NMI.
She's still good. They had an event.
Still good.
They had an event at camp. They invited. It was intergenerational type of an event that NMI and the district put together for people that are called. I don't know all the ins and outs, but they had like 80 people come to their little event at camp, and they had a roasted lamb on a spit, which probably drew a few of them anyway. Yummy. So yummy. Anyway, it was.
I digress.
I got the leftovers.
Could I offer just like a thought on that? Because I think this is the one area that in youth ministry, when I was in youth ministry, we were constantly asking us how we're doing discipleship. And it's one of those words that is thrown out, and we all kind of have a sense of we think what that means and what that looks like. But it always seemed to be kind of that moving target, right? The only thing that I can say to this that to me I think made sense was when we stumbled into it, when we connected intentional discipleship, if you want to call that, or spending time with students, speaking into their lives, holding them accountable, all the rest of it, was when we paired them with mentors around a missions experience.
Mm.
And one of the things that I've always said is discipleship needs a context. Like, if we just talk, like, hey, let's talk discipleship in our local churches, it has to have a context for students for all the reasons you've just listed before. You know, that they are not interested in discipleship that is sitting around a table and going, okay, let's talk about your feelings and where Jesus is working in your life. Well, some of them will be, but that to me, as a whole, I think that's the reality. But when it's around an experience, now this doesn't address the local church necessarily directly, but district-wide, you know, the Swaziland mission trip that we initiated a number of years ago is still reproducing leaders in Central and still becoming a discipleship process that is ongoing and ongoing. And I'm not taking credit for it as much as just saying, I think discipleship needs a context to be effective.
Sure.
And if perhaps in the local setting we think about those events or those things in the life of our youth group that naturally happens, how can we actually use those contexts as means of discipleship and not just events unto themselves?
Sure.
Yeah. You know?
I've been really challenged by that Jesus' invitation was come follow me. Not that we're Jesus, but we're first followers, Leonard Sweet
right.
says. And that in the following and the doing something together, that then there's authenticity to it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I've tried to mentor someone or pair up mentors for discipleship or doing something and don't have a context like that, it's just weird and awkward. and one out of, you know, 10 works. I'm interested in the LAMP leadership and mentorship program. Like what does that look like? What do they do? Is that something that like other districts are trying in Canada, or is this something that's just happening there?
It's just happening there, as far as like LAMP program happens in Canada Pacific. They started about a year and a half ago, I think this is their second year. And it came out of, our districts are struggling. Our districts are struggling for attendance at events, like this event-driven type thing. Well, why do we even do this?
Yeah.
What's the point? We don't have leaders. We don't have, we have no youth workers in a lot of our churches. So we don't know who the youth are. So we can't depend on youth workers because they aren't there, because they're not being hired and don't have positions, as well as churches are declining. So it came out of a desperate measure, but definitely came of we need to do something. And the district MYI fills a gap, but it needs more. It's gonna need help. And so it came out of that primarily. And then in conversation with Sunday school ministries and the district office and people who really have a heart and a burden for mentorship, for mentoring youth who've experienced it. And so practically it's everything, particularly from a girls retreat. So a girls weekend to a district training type with youth. They're still adapting it. Then you are partnered up. So a local church would identify a group of their youth or in Sunday school as well that would be good to be mentored, would be potential who are involved in it, or at least want to go down that track and be open to it. And then they identify a group of older people who would be good mentors. So, and what they're trying to do is equip both sides. How do you be a mentor? Because that is actually some discussion I hear a lot. Nobody knows how to mentor or
sure.
what is involved with that. What does that look like anymore? And then second, how do you be mentored as
yeah.
well, right? So they've taken those both tracks and developed it. And it's really just grown into, they don't have all the things all lined up. They don't have it all, you know, nicely planned out in a 10-step program. It's definitely changing and growing. It's pretty organic, but yet structure behind it. But there's definitely an excitement about it and buy-in from.
And it's intergenerational, isn't it?
It's completely insane. I went to the retreat last year. I was invited, and there was a 76-year-old, 78-year-old woman there, right down to. They only did it with youth at that point, junior high. Last year, so 12 and up. And they started off with about 42 people at that retreat. And just identifying key people in the district you know, like Pat Weens, Pat Pagan Lee. So just different people who are really want to pour their hearts and pour their what they know into people, whoever that is, and young people, and receive back. And once you get that group together and identify the people, then you can figure out what works and doesn't work. And then this year they did a one-day training type thing, and really interaction about how we should pass on the faith, what that looks like. So Joel, husband, did a couple of sessions, and I did a session out there too. So what they're struggling with is the keep the follow-up, right? How do you sustain it, and how do you maintain it and keep it going and communicate with it? So they're still trying to, you know, that's always that you can have these great events and these great programs, but how do you just keep it going? But we've seen it. They've done it with Who Goes to NYC. They keep it with interviews and intentionality of who goes and investing in and the follow-up and you're assigned. They bring a group out to our youth conference at Ambrose. They're intentional about who they pick to come out and try to encourage people. They stay at our place, and they see that as a good thing at Joel and I, apparently. So, right? They've got a few different things, and they're being intentional with that type of stuff. So.
Cool, thanks.
Yeah. But I know other districts are interested in what they're doing. Canada Central, Ontario District, are interesting. They had a one-day workshop called Grow that was partnered with SDMI and NMI, and it started to decline attendance, and so how can they...
In Canada Atlantic, we just had, as you know, NYI president change with Greg moving to Central. And so Brad, we're just kind of pulling together a new team and looking at everyone's passions and where everyone's going to fit in. And that's been really cool. And he's really being intentional about what everybody wants to do. But one thing, as Helen knows, because Ambrose is sponsoring it, I mean, is in the next year is to get to every church and really being intentional about, as a district leadership, investing in the local church leaders and meeting with them and sharing with their youth group in their church, because not all of them will come to anything in the district level. So it's kind of a focus on how do we empower and build up and show support and engage each local church ministry such that they may decide to become part of the bigger picture and be able to connect them and stuff like that. So that's just starting to be kicked off where Brad's looking at getting a few of us each place and going to two a month and try to get in all the churches in a year, get directly in and just have a Sunday evening to meet together and pray for their group and kind of see what their needs are and see what's the common thread. So that's new.
Yep.
And I think it's really just going to be a year of learning and hearing, and probably we'll launch something more from that. It's not going to happen until really the foundation is just kind of being built up this year.
I was just going to mention, we have a great resource on our district in Matt Wilkes and Trent at Camp Ramatten, and we've started a conversation over the summer here about how we can utilize them in terms of they're very intentional and good at spiritual formation, and which is a key portion of discipleship with young people. The way they're running their camps in the summers and stuff like that, they have an interest, and we have an interest in joining with them other times during the year to make the connection with between them and our local churches. So we're just starting the conversation. But
we had I'm not sure if you're a part of these or not. I'm Canada West District here. So 2 years ago, a year and a half ago now, we had focus groups. Our district superintendent, Dr. Larry Dahl, it came out of the hemorrhaging faith study that came out, and was really looking, asking the questions, and you know, what's happening, and I want to probe that a little bit further in our context of Canada West District. So we had a number of focus groups and discussion days, probably about three or four, and really hearing from youth and young adults. And there was two main things that came out of it that I recall. I don't know what he's done with the debt, so don't ask me, ask him. So, but here are the two things that struck me from this that we heard from the youth. They want to be mentored. They want to have, I'll use adults, they want adults to pour into their lives. So the relationship side of this, which, because I went back and forth on this, is it leadership development to go down a LAMP mentorship program, or is it discipleship? And they're really kind of
both.
It's a bit of both, right? So I slotted it for my nice little points in my handout. I slotted it in the do for discipleship part. But our youth are crying out for this mentorship, for this, what we call mentorship, but just for people to pour into their lives. And it speaks into this authenticity and seeing actually what's happening and communicating with them in a way that they want. They want to just come hang out and know that somebody cares enough to even just welcome them. So, right? Like that's, it actually is that simple in some ways. And then what do we do with them? And how do we talk to them and interact with them? So that was one thing that came out of those conversations. The second thing was how they view a call in ministry and what that looks like for them. And as we've talked about where we have leaders and where we have leadership gaps in our churches and across Canada and in our districts, whether that's at MYI, at a staffing level, a payment level, all that type of thing, that youth are coming through and we are saying that they're all leaders. You're all leaders. We're all in here, right? You're all special. You're all unique. Mm-hmm. You've all got something. And they are. So, but who is going to be the next youth pastor that's coming out of your youth group or coming out of your church or coming out with your community? Who is going to be the next district MYI president? Who is going to be the next senior pastor? Who's going to be the missions person? Not everybody is going to do that, but who are those people? And are we identifying them and working with them in their passion, in their heart, in their calling? And we've gone through a bit of this, we're all called, we're all special, we're all in there.
That's
but
great.
Then, well, what does that mean for ordination? What does that mean for local ministry license? Like the whole church is dealing with this in Canada of what that looks like. So, you know, while Ryan now has his big boy pants, it's like you have been called into your ministry and into your role, right? So Jody hasn't been called into your role. Jody's been called into a different role and a unique calling, as is Nathan, as has Stu, as have I, as is Clarissa, right? So it's all, and that's okay. We don't have to feel that we're less than somebody else or not as good or
no hierarchy of call.
No, but at the same time, there are people who have been called into God's work in a different, special, unique way, and that's okay. So, but at the same time, how are we identifying those people coming up for youth? Those were the two main things we heard from those focus groups, from our youth and for our young college and careers who are in ministry track and have a calling. What does that look like for them? Not sure if they want to go down the ordination, not sure about that, but they want to be in here and do this. So, well, if you want to go down the ordination, you want to be a pastor, you actually have to do certain things too in training. Not everybody can do that. You're trained in what you're doing as well.
Yeah.
So not everybody can do my job at this point, and I can't do everybody else's job. So I thought those were two interesting came out of our, and we're hearing that constantly across Canada. So leadership development. This is a bit of my little new soapbox that I'll, as I was thinking about this, you know, a case for MYI. Because I hear that a lot from our, like, what's the point? Like, why do we do District MYI? Why do we go to MYC? Why do we have this? And I look at it, it's not a case for MYI, or not a case for Nazarene Youth International. It's a case for the kingdom, and a case for our ministry with youth in the kingdom. And some of the things that have been I'm hearing and be on my heart. I'm somebody that came through the process of MYI, of in the youth group, you go, it was Friday night in my day still, so you go and then you're voted in and you can be the something rep and you could maybe be the president or the vice president. Who knows what that really meant? Who knows what you really did? I don't even know if I did anything. I was also involved in district MY leadership on Canada Central District, district MY president, vice president. So I've come through those MY leadership things. And 85% of our current youth workers in Canada have come through some form of NYI type leadership. And it drops down to about 75% or 80% of all of our Church of the Nazarene workers in Canada have been involved in some organizational leadership within the Church of the Nazarene. So whether it's NMI or SDMI, whatever type of role, but one of those type of mission society or type things, we've had some kind of council and retreat and positions. And what it really, we used to do all that, and most churches are not doing that now. We don't have an NYI council as such. We've got a leadership team, maybe districts.
Really?
Some of them, junior highs.
Most churches
do not. Because they don't have youth, some of them. And they've got various. Or when we went to hiring youth workers and youth pastors or part-time, we can take the pressure of someone leading, but we've lost the leadership structure within the actual youth group itself too. And so those are just some general things that we're hearing and noticing. And for me, and hearing from people, the benefit and the output of that in the long term really has benefits on the person, the youth that we're developing, and ministering to and discipling, to be part in a mentorship program that they give back and go on and feel part of the big picture. That they feel that they can contribute to the life of your local youth group and they take responsibility. But that takes time and energy from us to actually, and that's exhausting. I know that's exhausting, to actually invest in them and give them leadership and then hold them accountable for it in the long run. So part of the questions I'm asking are, how many of our churches have actual youth ministry plans? We are going to do this. This is what we are doing for discipleship. This is what we are doing for leadership development. This is what we are doing for evangelism. These are the events that we are doing, the programs we are doing that would actually tie into that because of that. How many, who are our people that we've targeted this year that are going to be part of our leadership council? And so the case for MY for me is not about, oh, we've got to be MY at the structure. It's the heart and the function behind it and the purpose behind it of what it gives back and what we are giving back to the youth. And that to me is where I have a hard time communicating that and really putting that into words that maybe make sense. I'm still processing this quite a bit. So for me, it's getting back to some of those basics. Where are our leadership councils? Where are they? And where are our good leaders? How are we developing them? And we're hitting a bit of a crisis in our MY in Canada. We really are. So I would say there is, you know, Ryan, you've expressed it here, just, you know, struggle with some of these programs and, you know, whether it's discipleship or not. Our local churches, the staff turnover, what does that look like? And that's fine, but there are things we can do. Are we doing the basics and the foundation organizational things that can help us be free and do the ministry?
Well, when you said about the snowplow, I don't think I heard that term about snowplow parents, but what's interesting is on our council, we do have in my church the full NYI council. It follows the manual and everything, but all the jobs are adults. And I've been saying for the last few years, I'm struggling, and the word that comes back is, yeah, but you can't count on the kids. You can't count on them. They won't do it. So I said, well, could we do a pairing where you can be the president, but you're mentoring a junior president, like a teen president, and I'll be the vice president. I'll mentor a vice president. You're the secretary, but, you know, so my daughter, she was the secretary. But I said, don't do the minutes. Like, yes, if she fails, back her up, but hold her accountable. Teach her. Because, you know, she's going to college now. She can put on her resume, and she actually knows how to do minutes. But I feel frustrated that we are honestly too lazy sometimes. And I don't mean my church. I just mean in general. We're too lazy to invest. It's just easier for me to do the minutes myself than to count on a kid who's going to let me down. But I agree with what you're saying, Helen. I think the kids, young people, they want to have someone invest in them, to teach them how to be the president or the whatever. They want that. But, I mean, yeah, they're going to fail. And if we're going to be so frustrated because we're so busy that they're not good enough, I mean, I feel like the council should be them, if not at least partnering or something. So it's interesting that you say that, because we're in that transition, and now we do have young people, and you can see some leaders stepping up, and I have no doubt that some of who our leaders are will be on the NYI Council Atlantic in the future. I mean, I have no question, specifically one or two. You have to let them be the president. Like, I feel like you need to let them do that, right?
I think it's, I totally agree. But I think the onus is still on our youth leaders to see this as their vital role. That's their lasting impact in the life of youth, not how awesome their Friday night activities were, how good their Bible studies on Wednesday night were. Those are important things, but the lasting impact on youth are, did they invest in relationally with them, and also did they see their role in the life of the youth as bringing them along, helping them to see, realize their leadership qualities and potential, and give them opportunities to do that. When I look at my own ministry, that's the fruit of the ministry I look to. But that's also the challenge, because I don't think that's hard for us. So that comes into leadership development on a district level. Letting our youth leaders know their important role in developing leaders in their local situations, but also our churches who have youth leaders, I would imagine that by and large our churches that have youth leaders, whether they're staff people or volunteers, view their youth leaders as people who run a youth program, which means they babysit teens and entertain teens, rather than developing those teams and fleshing out their leadership potential and all those sorts of things. So it's an educational challenge.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't stop. I don't think it stops at teens.
No, totally.
Like
not.
With the young adults, I mean, I look at Brad's our current youth pastor, our current NYI, and I mentored him and I taught him in teens, and Matt Barber before that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, but I'm looking at our young adults now, and maybe it's because my daughter is now leaving, she's in university, and so I realize, okay, maybe I'm more focused, more aware, my heart's changing for that reason or whatever. But I look at those young adults when they came to this college and career camp, and the words that they said, it's like, hey, the ones who came, they are the future, because they are the ones who taught at camp. They're all the ones who counseled at camp, and they're the ones who stayed through the youth. They were so happy to have this fellowship time together, and they were like, this is like, we're at camp, but we don't have the kids. Like, it's like Thursday night, we can go out and party, but that's like, we don't have kids, it's just us. We're like the, what do they call, the superstars of camp, like, right? The all-stars, because we're coming back, and it's just us. Like, they were pumped, we did all kinds of foolish things, but what I see in needing to mentor into them is for them to get to where I am, they can't be like, well, we're glad that you did really well and counseled good camp and everything. Now you're out on your own. Like, I hope you make it. Half of them were married. Like, we had five married couples, and half of them, some of them had kids. So it's like, well, like, I hope you make it and end up in church at family camp someday with your grandparents that you come back. Like, good luck. Like, they still, if they're going to mentor, I feel the teens, like, me and others need to mentor them.
Mm-hmm.
Because the college and career kids are the ones that should be really at the youth events. Like, I hope that our NYI events become our college and career. You're coming, and you're coming to this, and you're coming as leaders, and you're going to be mentoring the teens. And that's where it needs to go. But I feel like my generation can't give up on our college and careers.
Yeah.
Hope that they make it to us, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry. I'm preaching.
No, it's good.
It's good.
Take my preacher pants off.
Yeah.
Oh,
embarrassed.
Kidding.
I just want to point out one thing. I was digging around all this stuff. I don't know the ins and outs of the Church of the Nazarene. I don't know the manual. I don't know all the little rules.
I
don't know. It's okay.
I have
okay.
A digital copy.
A digital too. I get on my iPad.
Send it to you right now. I'm being concerned
so
about.
So I'm always asking. I am not that person. I don't know these things. So when I dig around and find stuff, I'm actually amazed at some of the resources that are out there, just because I don't know. There is an actual local ministry church plan template that can help. And I thought, this is brilliant. This helps focus your group. Because you can't do it all. You cannot do it all. So, and you're not expected to do it all, but what can you do and what can you do well? So just the ministry age focus for our NY is going to be this. This is all we have the resource and the capacity to do, right? The age divisions, you don't have to get into all of this, but evangelism, this is what we are going to do
right.
For evangelism. This
nice.
Is what we are going to do for discipleship. And it says what discipleship is. Equip our young people to grow as disciples of Christ
cool.
In personal devotion. It could be one thing, it could be two things.
That's awesome.
Leadership development, what we're going to do, and this is what our NYI is going to do in events this year and participate in that will
right.
Build into that. Like, this is just a little worksheet that any
that's
local
nice.
Church could use, adapt, take, make it your own. The structure is not there to restrict you. It's to give you freedom and to give you guidance and support. So
is that being made of, will you
yeah,
make that available?
Yeah,
totally
can.
Because I found that document, but not without searching.
Yeah.
And I don't know if a lot of people will know which site to even go to.
Yeah.
Right.
Local ministry plan, a local NYI job description, NYI
yeah.
President job description. So again, these are templates. These are not like, oh, you got to do,
yes.
Don't look at them as rules you got to follow. It's how to, and then from that you can go, well, I'm going to need this budget to do this. You can go to the board and go, this is what we're doing this year. This is what we want to be a part of. This is why we're doing this. Help support us so we can build a kingdom and build a church. Right? Like, it's just a lot of those really cool tools. Yeah, it doesn't. That's it. I'm going to give you a couple.
I love that, Helen.
Isn't it great?
That's awesome.
That was awesome. I'm going to give you five things to just be aware of, NYI things for the next year, a little behind. Youth and mission. I think you've all talked to Kenny. If you haven't, you should.
I have.
5 seconds? What do you got?
Sure. Youth and mission is relaunched. It's focused on USA Canada Nazarene students not going to Nazarene schools, which is 89% at least, and we've got locations in the U.S. right now. We're working on locations in Canada. My Jay Height through Compassionate Ministries is who I report to, and he's talking with all the DSs and specifically the Canadian DSs in the next few weeks. And I've got a free T-shirt for everybody in the room.
What?
We love swag.
That's what I miss about youth ministry.
You
have to buy one.
I know.
I got a whole new
wardrobe
at NYT. Somebody
wants.
Oh,
good
for the year.
Go ahead.
Yeah, just if there are Nazarene young adults you're connected with, networked with, that are coming up in a year or two or whatever, love to be connected with them, connected with you, and having those conversations, because we need the. The U.S. needs Canadian students to be a part of youth and mission teams in the U.S. to be everything that they can be, in my opinion. if we're going to do this as a region together, then there need to be partnerships and spliced and diced of those teams. And if there's Canadian youth that you think this would be a great person to be part of a team like that,
what is
I'd
it?
Love
like
to talk
what
with
are,
them.
What are you exactly? You're sending teams for short term?
I'm going to have you talk with him after.
Youthemission.org.
In
youthemission.org.
Oh, we're done. Is this our time?
Yeah, we
got
we gotta be done at 2:45, right? We're already on it. Okay.
I think so.
In Cointreau, you may or may not heard about this. This is a week-long mission opportunity in Puerto Rico. It is MYI-driven. However, it is intergenerational. This is the cool thing. But there's 3,000 people each week that will be going. It's over 2 weeks. You pick 1 week. Everything from medical to administration to security to music. That type of stuff. I've circulated that around a bit. You have a postcard and your thing. It's really helpful for you got one. It's really helpful for students and churches who can't plan a work and witness trip, who don't have access to big resources. And I love that it's intergenerational.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's what I love about that.
That's in our little package.
It's in your little package, stuff on the Facebook group. Mesoamerica is our partner region. If you don't know that for MYI, you should. They would love to come up. I think we're going to send a crew down next year to their NYC.
Yeah,
they've invited us down, so I think we're going
to
look at doing representatives, 4 to 6 representatives from each district.
No, I don't know.
I'm the old guy now. So.
How many participated in the 30-hour famine at all through Canada West used to do it all the time.
Yeah.
It Church of Nazarene has moved in a different direction, not doing 30-hour famine and doing their Just Water campaign. If you haven't heard about it, the Justice Movement, check it out. A resource. It's very cool stuff happening there.
It's very
cool. Connect Conference. Every year, except for the last 2 years, we've had a Connect Conference. We're going to have one again this year. It is all youth workers across Canada. We had 34 last time. Awesome.
April.
It will either be the first weekend in April or the second weekend in April.
2016. Yeah,
2016.
Oh, wait a minute.
Helen, excellent. Helen.
I wish.
Helen.
If you are not a member of the Canada Field MYI Facebook group, you should be because, Think Ambrose, send us your students and go to the New Church of the Nazarene Canada website under resources, you ministries, you will find an MYI.
What a nice job on that website.
You're welcome. And you'll find information there on events, things, and contact me. You guys are awesome.